welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. There are some new guys on the block with regard to diabetes medications. And as you remind us regularly, the point is which of these drugs can actually make an impact on mortality. Just to remind listeners, though, that treatment for diabetes, particularly type 2 diabetes, has centered on increasing insulin availability. We've done this either through direct insulin administration or through agents that promote insulin secretion. We've worked to improve sensitivity to insulin. We've delayed the delivery and absorption of carbs from the GI tract, and we've worked to increase urinary glucose excretion. The sodium glucose cotransporter 2, SGLT2 inhibitors, reduce blood glucose by increasing urinary glucose concentration. These drugs are expensive. They decrease glucose really only slightly. For this reason, they're not usually recommended as the initial therapy for most people with type 2 diabetes, but they do have some benefits that are in the cardiorenal category, and mostly they do modestly decrease blood pressure and weight. The glucagon-like peptide 1, these based therapies affect glucose control through several mechanisms, including increasing glucose secretion, slowing gastric emptying, and reducing postprandial glucagon food intake. These agents usually do not cause hypoglycemia in the absence of other therapies that do. You found a poem this week. It was published in BMJ 2021. It attempts to answer the question, for which patients with type 2 diabetes should the SGLT2 and the GLP-1 receptor agonists be added to treatment to prevent adverse cardiovascular or kidney outcomes? Mark, what guidance does this paper give us?
Yeah, this is from the BMJ and the British Medical Journal, and they have been getting into the guideline business, and this is a really cool article. It's worth going to the site. It's freely available, no paywall, and if you just type in, you know, just copy and paste the title of it, you can find it. It's at BMJ 2021, volume 373, page N1091. So they have interactive calculators, interactive visual communications. It's a great education to look at that guideline. So yeah, this was based on a systematic review and meta-analysis of 764 randomized trials with over 400,000 patients. They found that overall, they do reduce death, incidence of MI, and incidence of end-stage kidney disease or renal disease. Now, the absolute benefit depended on the underlying risk that the patient had, their baseline risk, anywhere from 5 to 48 fewer deaths per 1,000 patients treated for 5 years. So number needed to treat there of anywhere from 20 to 200. Okay, so quite a difference. They recommend using the RECODE calculator. If you just Google RECODE calculator, you'll find it to assess risk. You know, warning that that calculator does include race as one of its risk factors. So I think we're all becoming more aware that that may not be appropriate to base risk or clinical decisions on race alone. So that's a caveat about that calculator. They looked at the data and they tried to identify different levels of risk for patients with type 2 diabetes. And what they recommend is that if someone has established cardiovascular disease and chronic kidney disease, definitely start an SGLT2 inhibitor or consider a GLP-1 agonist as an alternative. If they have either CVD or CKD, consider an SGLT2 inhibitor or GLP-1 agonist. And here in the U.S., most physicians would start one of those agents. If they have a bunch of cardiovascular risk factors, 4 or more, but no established disease, again, consider an SGLT2 inhibitor. 3 or fewer risk factors, they recommend against starting one of these agents. And that's probably somewhat different from U.S. practice, where increasingly we're seeing patients being started on these agents very aggressively. You know, it's worth thinking, if you look at the studies where these Flozins and Gliptins were studied, the big studies that are published in New England Journal, they write the study up to say, you know, patients with type 2 diabetes benefited. Well, it was actually patients with type 2 diabetes and chronic kidney disease and established heart disease. These were not patients that didn't have, almost everybody in those studies had one or the other or both. And so that's, I think that's what they're reminding us of here, is that we've kind of extended the indication and gone past where the research was. And so now we're giving lots and lots of these drugs for patients who are have very little potential benefit. So it was a good guideline. It may be more conservative than some American physicians might be comfortable with, but I think it's a really useful guidance for our listeners.
And as you said, this is huge, 400,000 patients, and it's evidence-based. It's not a bunch of people sitting around scratching their heads with industry sponsorship, trying to figure out what to recommend. This is the way guidelines should be made. We will talk again in a week.
See you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.